Today, my dear faithful, is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, Be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, Be thou opened. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the first abbey in the United States was the Trappist Abbey of Our Lady of Gethsemane in Kentucky. One day, a young mother came to this abbey to visit her brother, who was one of the monks there. She brought her two little girls, Cecile and Mary, with her. While the adults talked, the two girls explored the visiting room. But Mary, the younger one, soon grew tired of the room and the adults' droning conversation. The adults did not notice this, however, because her sister, Cecile, was playing the part of an older sister and lecturing the little one on the duties of visitors. But Mary did not want a lecture from her sister, and she did want to leave that room and do it right now. Mary was on the verge of a full-fledged tantrum when Cecile decided to take drastic measures. She reached up to the holy water font in the room and began dousing her baby sister. This Mary did not like and let everyone know it by a powerful outcry. Immediately, the adults were brought to attention and asked, What's going on? And then, while Cecile continued dousing Mary again with holy water, her earnest, innocent reply came, I'm knocking the devil out of her. Now, my dear faithful, this incident is amusing, but it also hides a powerful truth, which we can see also in today's gospel. In today's gospel, our Lord had just returned to the area around the Sea of Galilee when the incident in today's gospel took place. As we see our Lord walking along, a small group approaches him. One of the men in the group can neither hear nor can he speak. So his friends ask our Lord to heal him. Moved by compassion for the poor deaf mute, our Lord takes him by the hand and leads him away from the crowd. Then he reaches out to him and places his fingers in the man's ears. And next our Lord draws a little saliva from his mouth and touches it to the man's tongue. We can imagine that the friends of the man were watching intently, waiting to see what will happen. And our Lord then looks up to heaven and groans, and then commands, "Ephphatha," which means, "Be thou opened." At once the man's face shows wonder, awe, and gratitude as he hears the song of birds and the rustle of wind in the grass. He hears the amazement of his friends, and he in turn speaks aright, as Mark says, and thanks God and praises our Lord for this wonderful miracle. But then, despite the command to keep silent about this wondrous gift, the man told everyone he could how our Lord had healed him. Now, today, modernists dismiss this miracle as just a story, as something that didn't really happen, but just a nice thing that they made up about our Savior. But of course, this miracle really did happen. Our Lord did actually cure a deaf mute in this way. And the Church puts this gospel before us today, for as St. Gregory the Great says, our Lord's actions in performing this miracle have a symbolic meaning for us. He says that the fingers of our Lord entering the ears of the deaf man represent the gift of the Holy Ghost, sanctifying grace, which opens our mind to obedience by enabling us to hear God's commands. St. Gregory also says that our Lord touched the man's tongues with saliva to symbolize the true wisdom which comes from the mouth of God. And then he explains that our divine Savior looked up to heaven and groaned to teach us to pray for these gifts of grace and wisdom. Finally, the saint concludes by pointing out that the man heard and spoke aright, just as one who has learned to hear and obey God speaks aright by encouraging others to do what as he does in practicing his faith. That is what St. Gregory says is the symbolic meaning of our Lord's actions in this miracle. One interesting thing to note, my dear friends, is that these same actions are repeated during the solemn ceremonies of baptism. You see, before the sacrament of baptism is administered as part of the preparatory ceremonies, the priest prays several prayers of exorcism over the child being baptized. He then takes a little saliva and touches the ears and nose of the infant while saying the words of today's gospel, "Ephphatha," that is, "Be thou opened." The priest then prays, "Be thou opened for an odor of sweetness. As for thee, devil be gone, for the judgment of God shall draw near." We can see then that the Church wishes by these ceremonies to open our hearts to grace and to drive the devil far from us, just as little Cecile, in her childish attempt, tried to drive the devil away from her sister by dousing her with holy water. In the ceremonies of baptism, it is immediately after this that the godparents, speaking in the name of the child, make what are known as the three baptismal vows. These three vows are posed as three questions. Do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his pomps? Of course, to each of these, the godparents answer for the child, "I do renounce them." And thus, each one of us on the day of our baptism promise to renounce Satan and all his works and his pomps. This means that each of us promise to love, serve, and obey God. We promise to renounce and reject Satan. We swore to give up his works, that is, all that is evil and sinful and displeasing to God. And we vowed to abandon his pomps, that is, all the empty display, pride, and vanity associated with the devil. We promised to give these up so that our hearts and minds could open to the Holy Ghost and be filled with his sanctifying grace. That is the real purpose of the sacrament of baptism, not just to knock the devil out of us, but to give us sanctifying grace. It is true, we often take the amazing treasure of grace for granted because we don't see it, we don't feel it. But sometimes we should pause and consider what this baptismal grace is. Sanctifying grace is a participation in the very life of God. Think about what that means. Sanctifying grace makes your soul live with God's own divine life. What a treasure that is. It is a gift that is so precious, we can't form an adequate idea of it. It is a poor analogy, but we can think of grace like this. Imagine a mighty tree that sends out its roots in all directions. From some of those roots, little sprouts spring up and eventually grow into other little trees. These new trees are different from the big tree and are much smaller, but they have the same life as the big tree to a certain extent. They can be cut off without damaging the original tree, but they are supported and nurtured by the original tree as long as they are attached to it. God is like that mighty tree, and we are like those little sprouts. We have the same life as that of the great tree, as long as we are in the state of sanctifying grace and stay connected to God by that same grace. Let us then, my dear faithful, realize the great good of this inestimable gift of his grace by striving every day to live up to our baptismal vows. We can do this in a very practical way by avoiding those things that lead us into sin, or even that distract us from the duties God has given us in our state in life. Let us renew our promise to renounce Satan, his works, and his pomps, today and every day of our lives, by living each moment for God through the fulfillment of our daily duties. Just as little Cecile tried to knock the devil out of her little sister by sprinkling her with holy water, so should we strive to knock him out of our lives by rejecting him, his works, and his pomps. Remember the promises you made on the day you were baptized. Close your heart to Satan and strive to work for God alone. And of course, ask our Blessed Mother to help you and beg her Son to increase his grace in your heart so that you may hear and obey his calling. Then one day, you will hear our Lord say at the gates of heaven, "Ephphatha," which is, "Be thou opened," as those same gates are opened and our Lord himself welcomes you to life everlasting. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.